Time to go back to the best, boldest, and funniest moments from this week on the Finnsiders.
Back up, rewind.
It's time for the Friday Rewind on the Finnsiders.
All right, here we go. It's week 10 of the 2012 NFL season. We look back and we start on Monday. Coach Philbin stopped by the studio for his weekly visit and discussed the team finally coming back home to Sun Life Stadium.
The fan support's been outstanding. We're looking forward to another great crowd on Sunday. And, you know, the best thing we can do to get that going is to, you know, play our style of football. And I don't think we played our style of football for 60 minutes yesterday. There were some flashes of it. There were some signs of it. But I think that's really the goal this week.
Great to be back. It has been a long time since that St. Louis game. As a player, Tuan Russell, Sam Madison, how nice is it to return home after what seems like forever away?
Sleeping in your bed, get to see your kids. I mean, it's awesome. Be able to look up in the stands and seeing the people that are cheering for you, it just motivates you in a different way. When you go into a hostile environment, your brain operates in a way the world's against you, and you're working off of different emotions and you're drawing from a different place. But when you walk into your stadium, you get to put your stuff in your locker, and the people that love you are there. You get to pull from a whole nother resource from a good place, and you always have a better game because you're playing at home.
Well, and just the little things, Jesse, far as, you know, like Tuan said, your own locker room, you know, the preparation, getting to the game. You don't have to get on the plane. You know, the rookies have to go and get the chicken before the plane or whatever. The offensive line, defensive line have ribs. It's just little things. It takes a lot of that pressure off, and then you get to play right here in your own stadium on the offensive side of the ball. You know you can quiet the crowd down, yeah, and get into your offense. And as a defense, when you're out there and you're playing well and you're playing hard, you know, they're revving up the crowd, and on it's just a lot of different dynamics that the players feel personally when they're on the field when they're at home. And it's just exciting to play in front of your home crowd.
All right, that was on Monday. Tuesday, of course, was Election Day. Big things happening in the world of politics. And so we decided to do some voting on the show. Listen to Troy Drayden's surprising vote for defensive MVP halfway through the season.
Koemisi, because I get...
Most outstanding defensive player.
Yes, Koemisi is playing very, very, very well. So
he might be most improved for me.
I think he's playing outstanding football.
Cam Wake, guys. He's out of his mind,
Jesse,
right
this
now.
This is my opinion. You have your opinion.
No, your opinion's wrong.
No, Cam my Wake, opinion is not wrong.
Cam Wake might be the best defensive end in football
he
right now.
He might be, but he's not my
but
pick.
But he's not playing as well as Koemisi. Is that what you're telling
me? I'm saying that Koemisi learning another position is playing outstanding football. That's all I'm saying. That's just me.
I agree that Koemisi's having a nice season.
That's just me.
But come on. Cam Wake, because he's probably playing better than any defensive end in football right now,
but
you
him.
Can make a case for a lot of guys, and yes, that's good. But it's Cam Wake.
It's Sean Smith.
It's Koemisi.
47% say Cam Wake. Oh, that's bad for me. Solei, 37%. Starks, 16%.
No, but they're agreeing.
Meesey's not even on the
way
poll,
to go with the masses.
That's okay. I just need one vote for Meesey. And that's mine.
Cope didn't list him as an option.
You know what? And I will choke Cope after this is over.
There you go.
Totally reasonable response from Drayden. Is it anybody but Cam Wake? Not that I want to get all the way back into this.
With the things that the expectation, you know, the offseason signing. And
who
all,
has been the most outstanding player? One word answer. Most outstanding player on defense through 8 games.
Randy Starks.
Okay, that's fine. I'm good with that.
I can go with that, but I'm with Jesse on Wake. I mean, when you look at what he's done and what he's doing, I mean, he's not finished. He's key. I mean, there have been a couple games he's put some jokers on his back and said, let's go.
Yeah. And Starks is fine. Solei is fine. You go a bunch of different directions with this as far as I'm concerned. And I think that's the best news here. That's the best news. We can have a legit argument.
At least we're arguing.
Yeah. And there's real options. And it's not just, well, it's clearly that guy because everybody else
Correct.
Has been bad, which, you know, has been the case at times. And there are really good options, and that's great. All right, so that was on Tuesday. Wednesday, NFL Network and CBS analyst Solomon Wilcots called into the show to take a look back at that Colts game, which he did for CBS, and to look ahead to the Dolphins and the Titans.
You know, whenever the owner starts to speak up, people are put on notice, and they're going to give you everything they got. Unfortunately, the Titans are a little bit limited. You know, they're one trick pony. I think when it comes to the passing game, the consistent thing is the Matt Hasselbeck's going to give them a chance, but they don't have prolific receivers that can make a lot of plays. They do have Chris Johnson, who gets hot maybe every third Sunday. And defensively, they give up a lot of big plays. I think it's a game that Miami certainly should win, but I could have said that going into the Colts game. I thought they had a great game plan. This was a lack of execution because Sean Smith should have had an interception on the deep ball at T.Y. Hilton from Andrew Luck. He did exactly what Kevin Coyle wants you to do. You're on the backside post, and your guy runs that deep six route, and you roll over and intercept the post route. He lost track of the football. All he got to do is make a tackle on third down against Dwayne Allen, and he whiffs and allows Allen to get past the first down mark and to convert yet another third down play. When your players are in position to make plays, you know the coaches did their job, because that's what their job is, to put players in position. It's the player's job to make the play. I suspect the Dolphins will be much better this week.
That was Solomon Wilcots of CBS and the NFL Network. I really enjoy his analysis. But go back to what he said at the beginning, guys, about, you know, Bud Adams, the owner of the Titans, being really fired up after they were embarrassed against the Bears last week. That's always something you'd be a little aware of as an opposing team. Hey, their owner called out their entire franchise top to bottom the other day. You got a pretty good sense that they're going to show up ready to play.
Yeah, especially after games when Heisinger would walk into the locker room, you sitting there, you're like, wow, the owner is really in here. He's into it, you know, and the coaches referring to him and all of those different things. And when the owner comes in, you know, everybody's eyes lights up, because we can sit here and say, yeah, the head coach is my boss, but the head coach have a boss as well. So for Bud Adams to come out and light a fire up under not only the players, the coaches as well, you can expect these players to come out here ready to rock and roll, because being embarrassed like that, you know, that's something that you don't want to have on your resume, you know, as a player, and you want to come back and bounce back. And like he said, this is a situation, this is a game where they're looking at the Miami Dolphins and saying, hey, even though they're sitting there and they're record, it is what it say it is at the halfway point, 4-4, I think we can beat this team. And now they're going to have opportunity. I'm just saying, this is what the Tennessee players are saying coming into this game. Guess what? And now the owner comes in, it just gives you the extra motivation to go down there and work your tail off and try to get that win for the owner. Let them know that, hey, we're into this as well, and we're not packing it up ready to go home as of yet.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, when you look at it from a standpoint that, you know, this can be a setup game. I mean, you know, if you're surrounded by people and you're about to go into a fight, what do? You're going to try to hit the guy that kind of looks about your size to scare everybody else. And we're closer to them than a lot of other teams that they play. And they say, hey, they're 4-4. They're not 7-1. You know, they're not, you know, 6-2. You know, we think we can whoop them. And they're close. So they're going to be coming here with some extra motivation, because they're trying to get their season turned around. And they're like, hey, a victory against the Dolphins, get us started so we can get back on the right path.
They're going to be a highly motivated team. Now, look, you don't win or lose a game with motivation. But it can help, it can hurt, and they're going to be highly motivated. I don't think there's any question about that. All right, last clip in this week's Friday Rewind comes from yesterday's show. Jared Odrick was in here, and I asked him if he's had any fun with some of the rookies along the defensive line.
We had some fun during training camp, which was good, you know, with the hair dye. You know, we made Shelby paint his nails and whatnot. But, we still didn't do a rookie dinner for the D-line, so we're still waiting to pull that card out. We make them do a few things around the building, or, you know, small things. But one thing we are kind of jealous of is the O-line rookies. They got the whole every season in terms of seasonal changes. For about a month, they had the whole month of October. They had their room decked out in Halloween stuff. Like, it was like, it's ridiculous. Like, you got, you know, dead bodies hanging off the ceiling. You know, obviously,
yeah, the skeleton.
Yeah, things, yeah, and then. You got candy everywhere.
So they're sending the rookies to Party City or something like that and decorating the room?
They just say, hey, rookies, this room better look like Halloween. And they come back and it looks like Halloween. Now it looks like Thanksgiving. You know, there's a fake Thanksgiving meal or whatever there is over there. There's like harvest, you know, stuff. And, you know, that's one thing that our rookies are slacking on. And Paul was pretty jealous when he went over there today and came back in. You know.
It's just fantastic. Big credit to the veteran offensive lineman.
That's man, that's awesome. Offensive line, though, man. Listen, the offensive line and the quarterbacks, they're always pranksters. They're always jokesters. And you're going to get the most out of them because those guys are always happy-go-lucky and you know, putting dye into your glove. They always with jokes and tricks. So to hear that for coming from the offensive line, that's pretty much the same thing when you go to any other in every NFL football team.
But you know what? Those offensive guys have more time than defense. Our meetings are longer. I mean, we come out of meeting.
I got to go check it out. I want to see if I can get a picture of it or something like that.
And tweet it out. That'd be sweet.
That'd be very funny. That
might want to get permission, though.
I can't even get back. You realize that. I can't. I don't go wherever I want. I have a very limited area here that I'm allowed to go
in. Yes, we do.